got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This first Friday of fall, September 23rd, 2022. And, like I said, many people have written and spoken about this. I mentioned John Taylor Gatto, obviously, in the last segment. Charlotte Isserby, obviously, it's amazing what's happened over the last couple of years. You know, Charlotte Isserby mentioned, she was the one, to my knowledge, who announced the passing of Rosa Corey, which was shocking, I think. And then we lost Charlotte Isserby not long after that, which I think is shocking. John Taylor Gatto, Charlotte Isserby, many other folks, Catherine Washburn and John Thornton, Dumbing Down, Essays on the Strip Mining of American Culture, James Lowen's Lies My Teacher Told Me, Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, Chapter 36, Education. There are lots of folks who have tried to shine a bright light on the shenanigans. You know, Clark's third law, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. So if you want to overawe people, you want to menace them with hobgoblins and do these stupid little parlor tricks, then it helps to dumb them down like little children so you can do these stupid parlor tricks and then have them, you know, wow, like goldfish, you know, like Dory in what's that movie? Ellen DeGeneres character. So I guess we should start by finishing this video. Speaking of how the illusion is being created right before our very eyes, I guess is how I'll put it. So the video is by Epic Philosophy, Epoch Philosophy, titled Martin Luther King Jr., Postmodern Revisionism and Hyperreality. So you may be asking, okay, you know, some of the facts are a little too oversimplified. This civil rights movement, that civil rights movement. I completely agree. Is it a surprise that we had BLM back then and we have BLM now? It was the Black Liberation Movement back then. Now it's Black Lives Matter. What a coincidence. Is it a coincidence that we have sort of an unbroken thread of intellectual current, much of which is much more fairer skinned than you might think? And so on and so on. There are nuances, but we won't get into that. So you might be saying, you know, the facts that he presents are left wanting. I agree. But that's not the point. The point is, what is this all what is the intended result of all of this? What is supposed to happen? And what is this feeding? And so now this is the section titled Hyperreality. We'll just play this. Go ahead, please.
Forced. Here, Jean Baudrillard and his work Simulacra and Simulation do an incredibly good job at visualizing this modern phenomena. He would argue today we are in a stage of pure simulacrum, in the ultimate realm of hyperreality. While being the case with Jameson, I can't quite go into complete detail about the full theory of Jean Baudrillard and simulacra and simulation, but we can touch base with his concept of hyperreality and how it relates to Martin Luther King in the contemporary sense. Hyperreality is a representation, a sign, without anything to reference it as a referent. So in simpler terms, it is a symbol of an incorrect symbol. Baudrillard's idea was that eventually, through the pipeline of postmodernism and media, we see a recurrent use of further symbols that lay on top of each other and further distort reality. As time goes on, we get to a point where we cannot continually distinguish reality, as our entire phenomenological being is a very simulation of sorts from these very layered symbols and postmodern constructs. But it's important to talk about how these layers delineate into four stages. The very first stage in a symbol or screen that is presented to us is, in essence, correct or extremely close. To Baudrillard, this is the closest realm possible to truth. The second stage is a perversion of reality. It's a copy of reality, but it's completely obscure. So while it may distort reality, we can still picture reality from the edges of that sign. Now on to the third stage. This is where hyperreality is starting to set in. Like the second stage, it seeks to mimic reality with the second image, an image which is already an incorrect copy. Thus, it is a copy of a false copy. Baudrillard claims this is where we lose profound reality. On to the next, we hit the fourth stage. This stage is pure simulacrum. While the prior stages sort of claim to be reality in its whole, this very fourth stage doesn't even have to claim to be reality whatsoever. It's simply accepted as such. Here, consumers don't even really accept reality as anything. And paradoxically so, Baudrillard claims this is actually where we get to the closest truth. Baudrillard quotes as follows, "The simulacrum is never that which conceals the truth. It is the truth which conceals that there is none. The simulacrum is true. Here we are in an ultimate simulation. The very idea of reality itself in an abstract sense is completely artificial." Baudrillard claims that these stages delineate within an order of degrees. Degrees that coincide with time periods, from the very pre-modern period, modernity, and post-modernity of late capitalism today. This very simulation phenomena happens through contemporary media with television, film, print, and internet. We see in things such as exchange value with fiat money, abstractions of sorts ultimately show themselves as reality. Then we see language and ideology picks up on this, and it finds itself ever more present in education and media. Here we see in fourth stage simulacrum, Martin Luther King simply is whatever it claims to be. There is no questioning of a sort of abstract reality. Thus, there is just a complete acceptance that Martin Luther King is whatever ideology wants from him, and namely, status quo ideology. Take our contemporary civil rights movement happening today. We compared our movement today from the prior civil rights movement in the 1960s, yet we examined the 1960s movement as a symbol and a simulation of sorts. We think of that movement as something all peaceful, yet that isn't quite the truth. That isn't actual reality. And yes, I understand the irony in me trying to elaborate on what really is reality under this context, but using data and historical analysis, it's easier to discern what something isn't rather than something's absolute reality. We have the likely unfounded idea that the 1960s civil rights movement was one of complete peacefulness, of ultimate nonviolence, yet the historical evidence shows us that that is likely overly simplistic. Yet, conservatives typically use this unfounded idea of a peaceful 1960s civil rights movement as a way to discredit our current civil rights movement going on today. They are using an unfounded symbol to juxtapose a current position that they have. Thus, we use distorted images and symbols to further distort our reality. And the mainstream and larger media apparatuses do this explicitly. We see that Donald Trump is postmodern in the sense that he rejects facts, he rejects truth, and the like. Yet one of his most postmodern qualities is that he rejects the media apparatus as a whole. His reasoning is accurately that they distort reality, that they distort facts, but again, even more postmodern is that Trump criticizes the very media apparatus from the very postmodern lens that he occupies. So, in my opinion, the absolutely best way to understand this revisionism, this contemporary phenomena of hyperreality, is through the very lens of Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King is a hyper-real figure. He is an ultimate postmodern symbol. He has been turned into a historical figure of elasticity, an elasticity that can be used for the benefit of explicit capitalist endeavors, endeavors that completely contradict the nature of MLK himself. MLK was a character of tension, not the mindless, bland form of togetherness that he has been painted as much as he can be seen as anti-capitalist, as very anti-racist, anti-reactionary, he was also anti-neutral, the fake, plasticky kind of neutrality that ultimately hurts marginalized people. MLK quotes, "First, I must confess that over the past few years, I have been gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the black man's great stumbling block in his stride towards freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate, who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, 'I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I cannot agree with your methods of direct action,' who paternalistically believes he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by a mythical concept of time, and who constantly advises the black man to wait for a more convenient season. Shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection." This was MLK's legacy. This was MLK's message. Not the shallow postmodern revisionism we are seeing today.
There you go.
Thank you guys so much for watching.
So, hopefully that made sense. I know that we cut a couple of sections together. There are a few more sections in there. I think you did a good job. Maybe watch the whole thing if it didn't make sense. If you feel so inclined, again, it's Martin Luther King Jr., Postmodern Revisionism and Hyperreality. And this, I think, is a perfect... MLK is the perfect figure, the quintessential figure, like this gentleman points out, to demonstrate this phenomenon, because we've had these conversations on this broadcast. Who is MLK? Who was MLK? And it's true. He's like Alexis de Tocqueville, you know? It's the esoteric... Charles Dickens, Moby Dick. It was best of times, it was worst of times. It's the duality. He is whoever we want him to be. So, that's what we're seeing. And that's being presented increasingly as reality. Anyway, before we jump back into the dumpster, to the phones. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Am I on?
You are.
Oh,
good morning.
Hey, I haven't listened to RBN for a long time. I check now and then and go, nope, it's still terrible. But I tell you what, I have to say, I tuned in to check today, and I was very impressed by like 99% of what's been said. The only thing that continues to irk me is just continuing to blame the cultural Marxist. That gets under my skin when both sides are to blame. And I could make a solid argument that is the right-wingers, although God knows the left are used like some of the most ridiculous stuff they come up with, like to get under the skin under the right. Really aggravates the hell out of me, but I think it's all deliberate, okay? It's part of the divide and conquer.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, so the thing is, but the right still falls for it. And
You probably haven't heard me say recently that Adam Kinzinger is not far off the mark when he says Christian Taliban.
Well, yeah, the whole thing. Let's face it, the latest statistics show that almost one-third of the country is going atheist. Well, why do you think that is?
The intellectual current over the last 500 years has been patently godless. That's why.
Well, the thing is, and why? Because of the counterfeit Christianity that you mentioned. The kids are seeing through it, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, but this is what, like I say, what piqued my interest, the whole gaslighting thing, because like I said, this is a real issue for me, because I think this is the, we have to face the fact, you know, they say it's easier to dupe a man than convince him he has been duped.
Right.
We have to come to grips to the fact with how badly we have all been duped. Okay?
You are the one. You are the one who, in my mind, when I think of Jay Gould, you know, we've had this conversation many times. The you know, infamous Jay Gould, who you're the one who reminded us, said, "I can hire one half of the working class to kill the other half."
And right, and that's where Mark Passio is so correct. And actually, Alex Jones used to be correct when he always was talking about the police state, but he completely lost his mind. And so the thing is, because like Passio says, it is order followers who hold the system of slavery in place. Okay? But then the right-wingers can be such hypocrites when the black people say defund the police. They come to the defense of the police. But when the FBI goes after that big hero cult leader, all of a sudden they want to defund the FBI. Well, you know, the thing I remember most about Jesus is how he hated hypocrisy. Okay? And so the thing is, this is one thing I really want to get out there is, let's see, what really annoys me about RBM is the continual Jew hatred. And I do not believe any person, because they were born into a group, automatically makes them evil. In fact, what I want to tell people about today, I just am adoring what Dr. Gabor Mate is discussing in his new book, The Myth of Normal, about trauma, illness, and healing in a toxic culture. This is a good man, and there are other great Jews, like his son of the Gray Zone, Aaron Mate, Max Blumenthal, Glenn Greenwald. So it irks me to death to hear the Jew haters, okay, that are so prevalent on RBN. You know, when I guarantee you I could come up a list of phony Christians. And let me tell you what's so exciting about what they're doing, and like I say, how harmful this has been to our entire culture. You see, what's coming more and more to the front is how psychedelic drugs that they demonized in the past are actually helping people. But Nixon and Reagan feared that if people started loving each other and coming together and getting along, they wouldn't be willing to go to war anymore. And so that was the real thing behind the war on drugs. Well, right now what is going on is so many other people who are desperate for healing, both mental and physical, and our allopathic medical system has failed them so miserably. And if you didn't get that before this COVID crisis, if you don't get it now, the way they demonize the good doctors who are trying to help people and try to destroy them, if you don't get that now, if you didn't get it before, if you don't get it now, really, it's time for the home. Your brain is gone. So the thing is, what's happening is veterans are paying for their other brother veterans to go overseas. They're going to Mexico and Peru and Costa Rica. Even physicians like Dr. Gabor Mate and psychiatrists. And you go to YouTube and put in and look into this thing, how actually even some of the big universities are coming to terms with the truth about how psychedelic drugs like ayahuasca, low-dose ketamine therapy, ayahuasca, other things. Joe Rogan, a lot of smart people with access have gone and done these drugs. In fact, when you say doctors are going to Peru and doing this because they kept seeing their patients come back healed by plant medicine. And one thing I'll never forget, years ago when I heard Dr. Andrew Weil say, what the pharmaceutical companies do is they go to these like places with the brown people in the woods with the plants.
Yeah, we're headed into a break. Okay. I didn't need a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yes. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. All right. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay. Andrew Weil, I heard him say years ago, what the pharmaceutical companies do, they go to the Amazon, find the little, you know, tribes, find out what their plant cures are, and then they come back and figure out how to add or remove a molecule.
Basically how to counterfeit it in the lab so that they can
patent it.
Right.
Okay.
So and it doesn't cure anything, which means that, you know, the problem we create is the problem we'll solve with the next one. And yesterday's wonder drug is today's class action lawsuit, which becomes tomorrow's rebranded wonder drug.
Right. And this too, it's like, don't get me wrong, if you're in 100 pieces after an accident, in the middle of a stroke or a heart attack, allopathic medicine is good. But how come, and people aren't questioning this, how come actually we're so unhealthy?
I would say
it's getting worse. And,
again,
and the thing is, we did under COVID.
I think to say allopathic medicine is good in those cases, I think the reality is more nuanced. Is it always bad? No, but the way I would describe it is it's kind of like going to Vegas. Eventually, the house always wins.
Yeah. And so the thing is, in some situations, if you're going to set a broken arm or something, it can be good. But I find them to be, and you know, he has YouTube interviews. I can't think of his name right now, but he did. I really love the way he thinks. It's this guy that put out this, he's on chapter 8 so far. It's called Cult of the Medics. And he goes into all the whole thing, too, about how the Rockefellers were, involved in allopathic medicine.
Back to the Flexner Report.
Yeah, so the thing is,
et cetera, et cetera.
We need a real paradigm shift, okay? And so
so let me just interject there, if I may. That's exactly what I'm getting at. So the intellectual current, people can listen to Jordan Peterson talk about Jacques Derrida, Foucault, et cetera, et cetera. And what I'm saying is, staring further into the abyss is not where you're going to find answers. Trying to study deviant pedophiles more diligently is not going to result in anything good.
Yeah, and like I said, and I could make a good argument and win, okay, on this. All these people that always want to blame the left. Noam Chomsky was right about a lot, okay? The thing is, if you look at who we invade, okay, both the Democrats, the establishment Democrats and Republicans are both right-wingers, okay?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I think that, I've talked about, we've had conversations on this broadcast about Calvinism and Arminianism. They both get it right and they both get it wrong. Same thing with, say, Democrats and Republicans. So what would happen if we got people together? What would happen if we got some honest, well-intended, say Republican or conservative Americans, not politicians or, professional politicians, but people who, had the right intentions, and we said, you pick the things that Democrats get right. And then we have Democrats say, you pick the things that Republicans get right. And then we started to try to, bridge the gap and focus on those things. What do you think would happen?
Oh, exactly. But that's what they don't want us to do. The thing is, actually, there are many things that we do agree on, but they don't want to talk about that because we would come together against them. And so they have to continually do this to us.
I maintain that was what got Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and many others killed.
Exactly.
In simple terms. And Bobby and JFK, anyway.
All of them. If you're part of the solution and not doing the right-left paradigm and wanting to pull things together, I'm sorry. There's some people in the, quote, patriot movement. There's a reason they lived so long, okay?
Yeah.
And while you're at it,
there's a reason that Henry Kissinger's 197 years old.
Yeah, that's
Nosferatu it. Nosferatu Kissinger.
Exactly. The thing is, I think Bill Cooper was killed because I think they knew enough. They did a psychological evaluation on him, and there's no way they would get him to go along with being a conservative who was racist that they could use because his wife was Chinese, okay? And his kids were, half and half.
Speaking of that,
he would have never gone along with that white supremacy that part of the right wing, I don't care how much people try to deny it, they are racist, they are sexist, not all of them, but there is a segment of them that absolutely are, and the people who do not condemn them are just as guilty.
Yep, absolutely.
That's how I feel.
Thank you, Renee. Much appreciated as always. Great to hear from you. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Welcome back. All right, before we go back to the phone, speaking of Bill Cooper, they're still working on discrediting him posthumously. As I've mentioned, you know, I always think of the Vice article these days, The Strange True Story of the Godfather of Conspiracy Theories. And there's a reason that we have to run Bill Cooper and behold a pale horse into the ground. It's because, you know, people go to jail or prison and they get their hands on a copy of Behold a Pale Horse, and things start to come into clear focus that were not necessarily clear. Speaking of the chaos theory, you know, people who have been instruments of chaos that have a moment to pause and reflect, suddenly realize how they've been played. And then, you know, if and when they get out, they start talking. And so, you know, we have to discredit Behold a Pale Horse. While we're at it, why don't we just, you know, Fahrenheit 451, the whole thing. And so, you know, I think of, I don't know, from there my mind goes to DMX. And he was pretty outspoken about some things. And then suddenly in the COVID era, the guy who at one point bailed out a church way back when, 20 years ago, $220,000. And they said he saved the church. He rescued the church single-handedly. Suddenly this guy who was outspoken, you know, the more outspoken he became, seemed like the less we heard about him and the more troubled, you know, the more outspoken in Behold a Pale Horse sort of fashion, the more, oh, you know what, he has drug problems and, oh, you know what, he's in a vegetative state, kind of like everybody else lately, you know. Ellen DeGeneres is still around, but Anne Heche is gone. What was she working on before she died suddenly in a very bizarre turn of events, I would say? You know, it was awfully quick. Everybody's, you know, Anne Heche had an accident. Oh, you know what? She's in a company. We took her off life support. We donated her organs. She's gone. So wait a minute. What happened? It was like 7.5 minutes and you already cremated her? What the heck happened? So anyway, evidence of something strange. All right, back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have Pat.
Hi, Chris. I heard the...
Good morning.
Good morning. I had some time to get some coffee since Renee was on, but I'm glad I did. The clip you played on Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Before, are you there?
Yes.
Because this phone just cuts off when it decides they had enough of me.
I see.
But anyway,
Go ahead.
You had to get your coffee. of course Martin Luther King's going to talk that way because that's what creeping socialism is, right? If they don't get it when you throw it at them first time, you go two steps forward.
You mean if they don't swallow the whole boot, then you kind of, you know, use some axle grease and a shoehorn and try to make it look more attractive?
No, you step back a step. But you've already gone a step ahead. You go two steps forward, and if you meet opposition, you step back one. I thought you used that word one time. I said, do you think people will know what that means, creeping socialism?
Sure, and that's in essence what I meant when I said, you know, in a real sense, you could call many of these people lizard people because they shift and change what they say. I mean, the buzz term communitarianism is no different, obviously. And so anytime you pin something down and you say, okay, this is what socialism is, or communism, or fascism, or communitarianism, or whatever, and then, you know, you can say, yeah, we don't want that. Then they go, no, you just don't understand it right. That's not actually what it is, or that's not all it is. And it's always the shape shifting. Like I was saying earlier, versus, say, the Ten Commandments, for example. My understanding is those haven't changed in a few years.
Right.
I'm being facetious.
No. Well, the fact is that I don't think anybody's ever going to understand anything until they know God.
Absolutely. I agree.
And if you leave that out, you can run this one down and that one down and that one down and that one down. he screwed up here, that was screwed up there. Hey, yep. You know, right now, I'm thinking everybody's so anti-God and saying that Trump couldn't have won because, well, nobody likes him and blah, blah, blah. And all those people at the his rallies are just there for see what's going on. They're just, well, when Jerry Falwell came out with his what they call him, the silent majority, turned out there was a silent majority. When the majority has to be silent, the only thing that they got to do after that is to take away the true vote, which they did, the communists. That's who's running everything from, you know, the whole 100 years or so.
Absolutely. That was my point of saying the entire intellectual current for the last 500 years, and this is not an exaggeration, I'm not being hyperbolic, the entire intellectual current, even back further than that, as these guys even acknowledge, it's the Neoplatonic era. What does that mean? It's patently ungodly, and when I think of communism, speaking of defining terms, it is simply the counterfeit of the Acts chapter 2 Pentecostal moment. You know, the slogan of communism is from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. Well, that's what was going on in Acts chapter 2. But the question is, who decides? Who's in charge and who decides? Speaking of Jerry Falwell, I always think of Larry McDonald because... Falwell was one of the people who questioned what happened to Larry McDonald, which I thought was interesting. He was the one who said, there's a real question in my mind that the Soviets may have actually murdered 269 passengers and crew on Korean Air Flight 007 in order to kill Larry McDonald. Jerry Falwell said that. So I thought that was interesting. All right. Sorry we lost you, Pat. Back to the phones in the interest of time. Lynn in Maryland, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, thank you very much, Chris. Good morning. Who's You're Larry welcome. McDonald?
Congressman Larry McDonald. Are you being serious?
Yeah.
He was a very outspoken bircher, I guess you might categorize him as, anti-communist, who wrote the introduction to Gary Allen's Rockefeller file. And okay. He said, the drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one-world government combining supercapitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control, et cetera, et cetera. He said, do I mean conspiracy? Yes, I do. I am convinced there is such
kind
a plot.
Of like it's kind of like Senator Stevens and what's his name with the Gulf oil spill? I can't remember his name in a second. And when you bring up what's her name, I wonder what happened to Michael Crichton. I get that he had leukemia, but it was a very fast-acting leukemia.
I agree.
And I would love to know what the next book was going to be about, because remember, his endnotes were a piece of work. I mean, he revealed so much stuff.
Absolutely. Completely agree.
And one of the things about Bill Cooper and Behold the Pale Horse was when I actually realized the timeline about when he died. He had just done like a couple day series on his radio program about Alex Jones.
Right.
So I don't know what that connection there is, but I always figured Jones obviously had some protection because somebody would have been unhappy with him.
Cooper was very outspoken, obviously, and there was also, his prediction, June 28, 2001, and they're going to do something. They're going to try to blame it on this guy, and then ironically, you know, that other guy basically took credit and said that he predicted 9/11, which is, I think, extremely disingenuous, to be kind. So,
well, anyway. Speaking of disingenuous, when you think of Martin Luther King, who was the guy who was with him and then left again? I don't know if it was Malcolm X or somebody else, but he was at that, he was going to give his speech in that auditorium, and he was murdered. And one of the guys,
the three that were charged.
Pardon me?
I said, are you talking about the Reverend Jesse Jackson?
No, no, he's still alive.
Right.
They, I think it was Malcolm X. But they, two or three men were charged with his murder.
What you're saying,
and one of them just was released from prison because it turns out they didn't kill him at all. There were FBI agents involved in there. And
which,
so they knowingly
which assassination
sent those
are you referring
to?
Jail. Hold on, Lynn. Hold on. Which assassination are you referring to?
Not Martin Luther King. I think it was Malcolm X or
okay.
One of those.
So we're not sure. Okay, got it.
Okay, and it was in, I think, the auditorium in California. He was shot on stage. You can find it because you're online. I'm not. I forget the guy's name. But I know that it was just recently, within the past month or so, because this one guy, I believe, died, but the other one they did release from prison because he was innocent. You know? He was assassinated, too, but not by the people that spent 40 years in jail. You know, I've been ready to blow a cog all day. We're being taken over here. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, heathen, whatever you are. This whole thing with technology is going to get the best of us faster than we think. And all you have to go with is the money thing, not being able to buy or sell. I'm getting my, well, besides the fact that the state has actually taken about $200,000 of my money, for, you know, you didn't put a penny in your account, so after 3 years, you know, it's not yours or something. And I'll fight that. But checking accounts, savings account, closed, going electronic, can only do everything electronically online. So no records. Think of something. If you've ever taken an accounting course, you're never going to learn that with a computer program. You know, debits, credits, you know, SS liability, owner equity. You got to do that with a pen and pencil and paper to figure it out and get it, you know, instilled in the brain. The other thing is like reading. You know, at least on if you're reading a screen, you used to read in an E fashion rather than a book. You'd read in a Z on the page and know where you ended and began and where something started and ended. But just above the fold, you read in an E. You know, in just 10 years now, people reading a screen read in an F. So all of that data is really lost. You don't really read. And over time, we all lose our ability to read printed text
right.
If we spend time reading online. Because they've
you
done
end
studies
up
just
having
a matter
essentially,
of time.
Yeah, you end up sort of engineering a form of ADD, you might say. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like eating Twinkies all the time, and pretty soon bad
you're
things
on your
happen.
Sugar die, and a diet of sugar.
Yep, absolutely.
And another thing is, if you ever look it up when you're talking about, you know, like drugs or PTSD and psilocybin and all of those type of things, there was a article. It was on the front page of the DAV magazine. I think it was about 2 years ago. You know, it's like now they give psilocybin, but you have to be in the hospital to take it. I'm like, and that sounds like a horrible experience for something that is a mushroom that, you know, people use for spiritual highs. Now, I don't think I need a spiritual high. I can trust the word of God, and I can be quite sober doing it, because otherwise it doesn't matter. And I think you actually been doing a great job with Sunday morning, but I challenge you to find where Sunday morning got switched. Because those of us who love God, love his commandments, Well, all except for four, blah, da, 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 da. However, everybody in the world, and especially TV preachers, want to do the da, 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 da. And I was like, Lord, where did you change the Sabbath? Because if you just read the first couple chapters of the book of Hebrews and take them as they're written, I mean, at least in the King James, they actually use the Sabbath as a matter of belief, obedience, disbelief, disobedience, and use the Sabbath and say, and if Jesus meant another day, he would have said so.
Right. I'm going to plead Romans 14 like I always do here and say that it's a Romans 14 issue. And, you know, like Paul says, the faith that you have is your own. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
And I don't read all of Romans 14
and then folks will understand. So.
Yeah, I don't argue any of that. It's kind of like bringing up death the other day. Death is the toughest one. You know, I mean, we hang on to what we hear, and I think the worst thing that could happen to anybody is go to Bible school or seminary, because it's bad enough with a Sunday school teacher when you just say, wait, what did that say? And that happened the very first time I went to a Sunday school class. And, oh, no, don't worry about what that says. You know, death is death, and what we've always been told is true. And I'm like, but that's not what you just read. And
we'll
ignore that. It's
from,
like a study Bible.
You go from Exodus 20.
Let's just go with the notes at the bottom.
You go from Exodus 20 where Moses says, guys, let's go talk to God. We don't need an intercessor. Jesus is our high priest. You fast forward from Exodus 20 to Hebrews, and that's exactly what you get. And so you get the secret decoder ring in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and you're good to go. For we have the mind of Christ, and who will instruct him? Anyway, we got another call I got to grab.
Thank you, Chris.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, as always. Back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
You know, it amazes me. I love Pat to death. But if we're in a situation where we've been lied to about everything, I wonder if Pat has ever read Martin Luther King Jr.'s writings, if she's ever read them, and what we believe, because someone that has lied to us our entire lives has told us, and judging people on word of others, having never met the man. As I've never met Malcolm X, but I believe both were very intelligent, bright, deep down at the roots, good men, if there's such a thing. That's what caused Malcolm X's demise, is because of his trip to Mecca, coming back, and Elijah Muhammad telling Louis Farrakhan, hey, Malcolm has jumped off the train, can you handle this?
Which is very similar to...
That's what happened.
Yeah, which is similar to, I think, what Lynn was just describing. You know, this is on a kind of a larger, more public scale, but absolutely, you know, and obviously this is Islam, not Christianity, but that was what was, you know, so Malcolm X was disillusioned.
Because they were uniting two Abrahamic religions or faiths, which is biblical.
Truly, not in an ecumenical sense, but yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay, now to Lynn's point of believing what we read in the Bible as opposed to what we're taught, I want to give someone a verse to look at, and it doesn't matter if you're King James only or not. I would say if you're King James, look at Isaiah 42:5. Let me read just a couple, one verse. Okay, well, I just got off it. Let's see here. Thus saith, God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. What is that saying, folks? I mean, we have been believing so many lies that we have been told. Just like you brought up the book that I discovered yesterday, Lies My Teacher Told Me. You know, I'm in the process of purchasing the book because I stumbled upon it. We've been lied to, and it's up to us to find the truth. First of all, the truth is in Christ, and if you're in Christ, and have the Holy Spirit and really want the truth, he'll lead you to it. It's like turning a light on. He will lead you to it. So the question that I brought up on Isaiah 42:5, I'm going to ask everyone that's listening. I'd love to hear comments, so I won't stay on. How do you stretch out? How do you spread a ball? Do you not roll a ball into a ball? I'll leave it at that, and I'd like to hear your response as well as others.
Well, I'm going to table that for now. We're minutes from the end of the broadcast, but I think the way that I would
think about
the thing that comes to my mind is something very curious that Neil Postman said at one point. He had an interesting way of presenting some things that were very controversial in a very disarming sort of fashion. So maybe I'll dig that up and see if I can play that.
I'll leave room. I'm sure you have another call. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. Thank you, John. Much appreciated, as always. I can't even really remember exactly how he said it, but what Neil Postman said in one of his talks, he didn't speak directly to this issue, but he said, you know, basically he said it's interesting how you know, you go from the perspective. He just basically spoke to the perspective, as I recall, that you know, on the one hand, you go from the perspective that you are special and that, you know, creation is made for you, or certainly with you in mind, to, and so there's this personal connection to creation and obviously the creator, versus this idea that you're just sort of spinning around in the middle of nowhere and it's all accidental and very impersonal and very transient and cold and institutional and sterile and so on. So I'll dig that up. Maybe we can play that, because I remember that and thinking, wow, that's really provocative. And Neil Postman was a guy who was acquainted with, you know, I would say the wizard's shenanigans from behind the curtain. And again, you know, listening to him, he presented ideas in a very disarming sort of way. So I can imagine people in his audiences hearing things while he was speaking and thinking, well, that challenges the conventional wisdom. And maybe, you know, obviously probably got people thinking. So I'll look for that. I guess it's Friday, so, you know, probably not bad that we kept it sort of light. I wanted to get back to the dumpster fire that is contemporary history or whatever, but I'm not terribly disappointed that we didn't get back to it, so I'll probably do that next week, and then we'll obviously, I'm headed back to the other stuff, the very difficult, awful stuff. Even though I don't want to, I think that we really need to see things clearly for what they are. And I think it's cathartic. I think it helps. So anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. I hope you have a great weekend. And so take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.